Okay, so today is the 12th of September, 2017. What day is Tishrei? Oh man, Sam's not here. Today is the... No. There we go. Today is the 21st of Elul, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. We are going to skip over Rishon Day, head to Halacha Day. We'll see how the topic fits into today's to the parak that we're learning. So I'll turn to Simon. Well, I'll tell you the first Yishayla that is raised. A couple of years ago, I was at an RCA convention, and a friend of mine, who's a rabbi in Edmonton, Rabbi Daniel Friedman, he showed me his talis, an interesting talis bag and talis. He had the atara of his talis. He took a pair of jeans, cut up the pair of jeans, and turned the talus collar thing, you know, that colored thing. So he put the attached part of it to his talus, and then also took another part of it and turned it into his tefillin bag. So is such a thing okay? Is there a problem with doing such a thing? Anybody have a problem with it?
Bag, probably not. Put part of the talus.
Ooh, interesting. Well, it can make a case that you have the opposite. That maybe the bag is worse than the talus. All right, we'll see. So comes the... the conclusion is that he's okay, I think. But where does this come from? Where does this issue come from? So there is a... If you turn to Simon Kuf Mem Zayin, Sif Aleph, not that you're turning there. I'll show you how this fits into our parak soon. But in Kuf Mem Zayin, Sif Aleph, it discusses the laws of Glila, of rolling the Sefer Torah. And there it says, Asher lecho Sefer Torah aron b'lo mitpachas, not allowed to hold the Sefer Torah without holding on to some kind of cloth in between. And some say that the same would apply to other Shari Kodesh. That's not our minhag, though, but we should be machmir, fine. This is actually where it mentions Gadol Shaba Usam Shakar B'Torah Golo, that the best kavod they have is the one who rolls it up. V'ragim L'knosu B'dam Yikarim, and they happen to be often sold for a lot of money. The kavod of doing Glila L'chaviv HaMitzvah, in order to be mechaviv, in order to sanctify or make more special the mitzvah. Then the Ramah goes on and says that it's a little odd. Was the Mechaber and Ramah having a discussion about Glila, but you think about it, it's different things. When a Svardi, I think the Mechaber is talking about those big Svardi Torahs that come in the case. So the Gola HaTorah is the one who picks it up and shows it to everybody and puts it back. Right? Our Glila guy is the guy who rolls it up afterwards. So the Ramah then discusses that we have the custom of having these cloths that go around the Torah. And then he concludes by saying, Vein lasos mapos l'sefer Torah midvarim yesh that you shouldn't use as the cloths for the Sefer Torah something else, something that had been used for something else, for a non-sanctified purpose. And he says, see someplace else, fine. That is the halacha that the Ramah quotes. You can't use something that was once used for a more mundane purpose. Anybody see it, where it has fits into our parak?
What if denbris were never used?
What?
What if the denbris whenever used.
Oh, okay. That would be Heter 1, but they were used. But how does this fit into our parak?
The copper problem.
Ah, very good. So the copper mirrors that we discussed yesterday, right? You know about the copper mirrors?
No.
Okay, so there's a Rashi yesterday that told us that when the women brought they brought these copper mirrors that were used, that were then used for the lever, for the kiyor. So Rashi makes the comment that at first Moshe had his doubts about accepting these mirrors, because these mirrors were used by women to beautify themselves and then to seduce their husbands. So maybe Moshe said, maybe this shouldn't be used. This was used as for something in the role of the Yitzhahara. Why it's called the Yitzhahara, maybe that'll be tomorrow's year or something. And Moshe responded, and Hashem responded by saying, no, these are very chavim, these are very important to me, and they should go ahead and be used. So what does it sound like? It sounds like something that was used for a whatever you want to call it, bad, mundane, or good purpose, and it's then used for something that was going to be a kli, something that's going to be a vessel in the base of Mikdash. Okay, so that's part of the issue that comes up here. So the Magen Avraham on that section in the Ramah in Kuf Mem Zayin Sifei. So he has a couple of interesting things to say. He says, first of all, Kasa B'taz B'yer Deyasim in Reish Pei Beisif Sif Katan Yud Gimel Tashmish to Tashmish Shari. That if it is something that is used for something else, so then it should be okay. What does it mean that it's a Tashmish for a Tashmish? That it's not holding the Torah itself, nor is it even protecting the Torah itself. It's something that is protecting the protecting of the Torah. Okay, so what would be an example of a tashmish to tashmish of a kedusha?
Tefillin sack that you put in the tefillin.
So the tefillin sack, possibly, right? The tefillin sack is questioned whether that's tashmish to tashmish or not. Why would it? Well, first of all, why would it be? Why would you think? So it's not kedusha. It's not the tefillin itself.
Right.
Right.
It's not the box it's in, but it's.
Okay, so what do you mean the box? You mean the tefillin box?
Right.
Okay, so the tefillin box is considered tashmishi kedusha itself.
Touching.
Not even because it's touching, because it itself has the Shem Hashem on it. We don't necessarily realize this, but the name of Hashem doesn't just appear in the tefillin, it appears on the tefillin. How does it appear on the tefillin? Do we know? If you look, there's the shin on the tefillin itself. Right, then there is the dalet, is the back knot, and then there is the yud. The yud is attached to the shel yad, the little knot that appears at the end on the inside part of the shel yad. That's supposed to look like the letter yud, and that actually spells out the name of Hashem. So therefore, it's considered as if the tefillin itself represents the Shem Hashem. The next part is okay. Well, then what protects the tefillin?
The sack.
So most well, there's something before you get to the sack.
Oh, the box.
The boxes. So the boxes may be considered Tashmishi Kedusha, right? They're protecting the tefillin. Now, the only problem with that is that often the tefillin are not, the boxes may cover the shin, but then it doesn't usually cover the dalet or the yud, right? So now you're left with the tefillin bag. So the tefillin bag probably qualifies as Tashmishi Kedusha, which means, by the way, it needs to go into Shemus. Right? It can't be thrown out. It needs to go into Shemus. Anyways, that's the tefillin bag. So the tefillin bag is not, so it's not under this heter, because the tefillin bag probably qualifies as Tashmish Kedusha, not just Tashmish to Tashmish. Okay. Umihu. Betshuvas. So the parochas could very well be an example of tashmish to tashmish, because you have the Torah. The Torah is protected by the Torah cover, which is protected by the parochas. Now, the only question is, what do you consider the atzei chayim of a Torah? Is that considered the Torah itself, or is that considered a serving of the Torah? So that's why it might just be no. So that's one side. That could be the parochas is not enough. That's just tashmish kedusha. But you could also say that, well, most of our arons have the Torah, then they have a door or something, and then they have the parochas, in which case the parochas then would qualify as tashmish to tashmish of kedusha. Now there was, if you look carefully in Shulchan Aruch, the parochases, parochasai, or however the plural is, are generally treated as tashmish kedusha. Why is that? So Rosh Hashem pointed out, this happened once, that the minhag used to be that they would take down the parochas and then read the Torah on the parochas. We have in our shuls, we usually have a covering for the Torah, and there's a separate velvet cloth that goes over the table. So in the old days, they used to take off the parochas itself and put that on the shulchan. So in which case, that transfers them from being tashmish to tashmish to just tashmish of kedusha. But okay, that's parochas could very well qualify as that. So Magen Avraham then continues on. That's chapter number one. Doesn't necessarily solve our denim tefillin bag issue. Umiyu b'tshuvas ma'aril simen kuf chaf aleph kasav daf parochas asher lasos midvarim yishan. That you can't even make a parochas of older things. Parochas shalana tashmish to tashmishu. He says our parochas is qualified as tashmish to tashmish. That's what we just discussed. Ubetosefta perik based in Megillah Isa kelim shenasu midchilasin lehedyot in osan osalagvo. That if it was originally made for a non sanctified purpose. So that would also, you shouldn't use it then for a holy purpose. For example, avanim b'koru shechatsu mitchila lehedyot, that if you have different, if you have stones or pillars that originally were hewn for hedyot, for non-sanctified purpose, ein bonen osam b'har bayis, you shouldn't go ahead and use them on the har bayis. And the Rambam actually codifies that in Hilchos Beis Avachir, mashu afilu him chadashim. If it was made for hedyot, it's going to be a problem. Now, what is that? That's a big issue, right? What does that mean? That means that you can't go to the hardware store and buy wood to use to build your shul, right? That would be an extension of that. That means all of the ingredients that are used for the shul building had to have been done lishma. So the Magid Avraham says that we're not knowing for that. That's not our minhag. Fine. V'nira li, the sphere lehu to base hamigdash shiny, and it could very well be that the reason why we're not machmir on that is because the base hamigdash is different. That the things for the base hamigdash had to be done lishma, and where and this is not. In fact, we'll get to shortly that the stones were hewn specifically for the base hamigdash. From the second level, from the level below, they had to, it sounds like to me, I'm not exactly sure, but it sounds like they had to remove the upper top part of the stone, and they could only use the stone that's underneath. Why in the world would that be? So it sounds like the reason is because there is a halacha when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash, that things were not supposed to be made from Barzel. They're not supposed to be used. Iron wasn't supposed to be used for these things. So how do you make sure iron wasn't used? You needed Hashkacha. Right? So you went to the quarry, and you had to do Hashkacha to make sure that the entire stone was only hewn using non-iron tools. Okay. So V'nira li, says the Magid Avraham, the Sfira lehu, the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash is different. But O'nira li, Dafa Kamos Shehein Aser, that the problem is if it is as it was, that it doesn't go through a change. So that's where we can perhaps start getting some more kulas. That if it was as it was, it's going to be prohibited to use it. About imshina tsurasan, but if you change the way it looks and you ba'asu mehen kli acher, so then it's going to be permissible. And what then is its proof? Because the kiur was made from the mirrors. And even though the mizbeach requires wood that was not used for a mundane purpose, we're going to say that the mizbeach is going to be different. So what is the Magen Avraham's proof that something that had what we call nishtana tsurasan, that its model has changed, that it's different than what it was, if you change it from the way it was used as a mundane purpose, it should then be permissible. What's his raya for that? What's his proof? Our pasuk. The fact that the woman used these mirrors for their mundane purposes, and then they went ahead and used it for the kiur in the Beis Hamikdash, right? So if the Magen Avraham says, from there we see that it's okay. Why is it okay? Says the Magen Avraham, because nishtana tsurasa. Because it looked different than the way it was, than the way that it was used then. It was adopted since then. Okay, that's the Magen Avraham's answer. So in the Sefer Torah Tamima, the Torah Tamima quotes this Magen Avraham and says, I don't understand something. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Magen Avraham. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu lived a couple of thousand years before the Magen Avraham, but we assume that he knew that halacha, right? If that halacha was so obvious to Moshe, why was Moshe against its usage originally? I mean, the reason why Rashi says it's okay to use those mirrors is because Hashem gave a dispensation and said, you can go ahead and use those mirrors because they were used, because you think, Moshe, it was used to satisfy the Eight Sahara. It's not true, Moshe. It was used for a sanctified purpose, and therefore it's very chaviv to me. It's very important to me. What's the implication there? That if it wasn't for the fact that it was for a holy sanctified, that it ended up being that it was a holy sanctified purpose, and therefore very chaviv and very special to Hashem, right? It should then be a problem, right? It would otherwise be a problem. So the Torah says, I don't understand why the Magen Avraham only quote that, and he didn't quote something that's a Beferish Rashi in Chumash. That is his problem with the statement of the Magen Avraham. Just wanted to get in, before we get to perhaps an answer for that, I'm not really sure, but the Magen Avraham also touched on this other thing about the Mizbechos. That the Mizbechos were required to be made from something that had never, that was, it had to be made lishma, so to speak. It had to be made, every part of it, even the hewing of the stones, had to be done for the purpose of making the Mizbeach. So, So where is that? So it's a little unclear what the source of that would be, but that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, A, that was the case, and the Gemara in Menachos also adds that the wood that was used on the Mizbeach had to be cut for those purposes. It couldn't be wood that somebody had used for a mundane purpose, and then it's going to be put on the Mizbeach. Why should that be? So there the answer seems to be that that was a special and unique halacha that came to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not necessarily something that's going to be learned out. Now there is an interesting question that is thrown out there and says, wait a second, we have a story in Chumash that talks about a person using a stone for a mundane purpose and then using it for a mizbeach. Can anybody think, where in Chumash does somebody use a stone for a mundane purpose and then use it for a mizbeach?
Yaakov.
Very good. Very good. Yes, Yaakov used the stone to go to sleep. He put the stones around the stone around his head, right? And then he went ahead and used that stone in order to build the mizbeach. So why is that? Why was that permissible? So the tour, there is a tour on the pasuk asked that question, and the tour says, well, that's different because Yaakov wasn't actually building the mizbeach; he was only building a bama. A bama is one of these altars that you could put, a private altar. It wasn't a public mizbeach, and therefore he's not subject to the rules and regulations that were going to be used by the mizbeach itself. That's his suggestion. So the Chassam Sofer asks on that. I say, well, wait a second. I can bring you a proof. He brings a proof from Mesechus, the back of Mesechus Vachem, that he thinks it's not true. That even Bamos had this rule. This rule was applicable not just to stones, but to Bamos as well. So why is it that Yaakov was entitled to use this stone for those purposes? So Chassam Sofer says, well, you have another question on that story of Yaakov. Yaakov goes to sleep on that stone. Is that just any stone? No. Right? The Medrash tells us that that stone was... So I don't know. I don't think that the foundation stone is in the ground. I'm not sure that's it.
Well, there's 12 stones that coalesced.
There are 12 that coalesced to one, yeah. But what was that stone? So the Medrash tells us that was the stone that was used for the Mizbeach for Akedas Yitzchak. That's what that stone was. So Sam Sofer asks, how could Yaakov have used those stones in the first place if they were once used for Akedas Yitzchak? So what would be the answer to that? So if you would have asked me, the answer would be, well, the whole issue was that he had no idea. He had no idea where he was. He had no idea that those stones had been used once upon a time. So how are you going to bring any answer from that? But Sam Sofer goes a little bit further. And he says that, well, it must be that Yaakov didn't actually sleep on them. Rather, he used those stones. Not we learn in preschool, the first time you learn that story, that he used the stones as a pillow. No, he didn't use the stones as a pillow. He used the stones as protection. He put these stones around him in order to form a small fort. Now, I always wondered about that. I mean, these animals generally can reach over the stones. I never really quite got that. But that's the answer that's given. They didn't actually sleep on the stones. He slept surrounded by the stones. And therefore, it's okay. So comes Chassam Sofer and says, aha! So then, if that's the case, that answers the question. Right? That Yaakov didn't actually sleep on the stones. He slept with the stones surrounding him. And it's okay to use the stones that were once used for Akedas Yitzchak as protection, not to sleep on. So then the same halach would hold true for the future as well. Just as it was once used as a mizbeach in that fashion, so too in the future it could be used as in the mizbeach if they were only used behedyot in that fashion, and that he was surrounded by them rather than that he was sleeping on them. Fine. The Torah Tamima asks another question, by the way. He says that he points out another distinction there. He says that the Magen Avraham wants to bring a proof. What's the Magen Avraham going on? The Magen Avraham is discussing that when you do glila of the Torah, the gartel that you use for a Sefer Torah, so it shouldn't be made from like. You shouldn't cut up a blanket that your kid stopped using and use that as the gartel for the Torah, because that was something that was once used for a mundane purpose. Now you're upgrading it to a kaddish purpose, so that's something that's inappropriate. So the Torah Tamima says, I have another. So again, so the Magen Avraham said that, but however, have totally changed, it's okay, with the proof being from these nechoshes, from these mirrors. So asks the Torah Tumima, I have another question, besides the fact that that required a special dispensation from Hashem because these mirrors are special mirrors, etc. So that's one question. Another question is how are those mirrors used? What does it mean that they were used? They were used as mara. They were used as something that you look at. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that discusses the lowering of, discusses getting benefit from various things. And the Gemara comments that, tells the story, you may have heard that when they needed to clean the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they had these boxes that they put the Kohanim in, and they lowered the Kohanim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim so that they would only clean the wall, they would only see the wall, and they wouldn't be distracted by all the other beautiful sights in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara there asks, he said, I don't understand, what would be the problem, right? It says, Mara, things that you see are not impacted by the laws of Mi'ila. There is no prohibition of Mi'ila. Anybody know what the prohibition of Mi'ila is? Mi'ila is the prohibition of benefiting from Hektish, benefiting from sanctified things. If you eat a korban, so you have violated Mi'ila. So it says just looking at things isn't subject to the laws of Mi'ila. So what's the big deal about dropping these Kohanim down there so that they don't see? There's nothing wrong with them seeing. So the answer is you're right. There technically wouldn't be a problem, but it's because of the kavod, it's because of the uniqueness, the specialness of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that they did it, even though technically you're right, it wouldn't have been a violation of Mi'ila. That's what the Gemara says. So ask the Torah Tamima, right? You're saying these Nechoshes mirrors were used as mirrors. They were used to look at. Well, looking at them shouldn't qualify them as being a mundane purpose, right? They were never technically used. They were only looked at. If they're only looked at, it shouldn't be part of this whole discussion. So that I wasn't so sure about.
Because that's the purpose of the mirror.
Right.
That's what it's used for.
Right. First of all, that's the purpose of the mirror. And beyond that, what does the Medrash say? How were those mirrors used in particular? Where were they used?
Out in the field.
Right, out in the field. So it's not like mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? They took the mirror out with them into the field. It was actually an object that was used and was carried around and was, right? And that's, again, that's the way you see. I'm not sure that you would say that that's not subject to Mi'ila either. That's what I wasn't so sure about that question. The Torah Tamima concludes at the end and says that if you really wanted to learn a raya, these kinds of things should be okay if they're changed, rather than learn it out from the mirrors, I would prefer to learn it out from the the other gifts that were brought, right? Because what did the pasuk say that these what gifts were brought? They brought the earrings and the nose rings and the, right? So those things are obviously used for mundane purpose. So why are you only asking these questions about these mirrors where it's questionable whether it's really a problem or not? The proof should really come from the earrings, nose rings, bracelets, anklets, and other type of jewelry that was brought.
That was used for what?
It was used for jewelry. I mean, they were women.
No, what was it used for? They were brought to do it.
Oh, that's described as they're melted down and then turned into kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So perhaps the answer to that is that, but those were totally melted down. When I was in chemistry in 7th grade, and I see Alan Appel has checked in, right?
They changed the form.
We learned the difference between a chemical change and a physical change and a chemical change. So when you melt it down and turn it to something else, that's a chemical change. Now, what exactly was the story with these mirrors? What?
It's a physical change. You melt it down.
Well, it's the same thing. Right, I'm sorry, that's not the best term. It's a total change. It's melted down, now it's completely something else. What was the story with these mirrors? What exactly, were they totally melted down? So the impression that you get, perhaps, is that maybe they weren't. Is that they were chosen specifically for this. In fact, it's a little bit closer than the other things. The other things were all this gold was all brought, and the gold was melted down. And then they said, "Oh, look at this! We have all this gold that we can now use. Let's go now fashion it into other things." That's the way all the other things were used.
That's the way the cake, the eagle, was done about too.
Okay.
So we're taking something that maybe it's a tikkun in a way. We're taking something that was used as in the bear, the opposite of
you. Are you surprised they had any gold left? Who exactly was selling them this gold? Yeah. Okay, whatever, fine. Right? They use that, they melted that. So at what point did it become sanctified? At what point did it become set aside for use in the Beis HaMikdash? After it was melted down. Right? People brought it, they melted it down, and said, okay, now we're going to go use the Beis HaMikdash. What's the story exactly with these mirrors? These mirrors were brought, and the person there said, aha, these mirrors, they'd be perfect for the kiyur. They'd be perfect for the... Right? But just as they brought Shalom Bayis between the husband and the wife when they were in Mitzrayim, so too the kiyur is used to bring Shalom Bayis in the future as well, because the water of the soda is going to come from a seder. They'd be perfect for the kiyur. So at what point did they become sanctified? They didn't become sanctified after they were melted down. They were sanctified before they were melted down. They were sanctified before they were melted down, so then you have a little bit of a bigger issue, right? Because they were being muktash as these what's it called? They're being sanctified as these hedyot type things, as these things that were used for non sanctified purposes, as opposed to kind of new melted down grain. So there the answer was that no, they were really used for sanctified purposes. But the question, so how do we get to the original Torah Tumimah's question? The Torah Tumimah's question was, how could you tell me that's a proof? You see that it was melted down, therefore it's usable. That was a special dispensation. So therefore it shouldn't be used as a proof for anything else in halacha. So perhaps the answer is that no. The fact that it could be used at all is based on this Magen Avraham, right? That this stuff was used, it's going to be changed, it's going to be okay. However, the fact, the description of this event, especially in the Ramban, is that there was something about it that was going to be used for the kiyur. The way that it looked in its hedyot state is why it's being used specifically in the kadosh state. So that's what needed the special dispensation. That's when Moshe turned around and said, yeah, I know technically that was used and it could be used now. But the Bezalel's plan is that he wants to make the kiyur look like the mirrors so that we can remember that incident which took place back then. If you're going to specifically be using it to remember that incident, so please say that was Moshe's problem, not the technical question of whether it could be used or not. That he knew. Technically it could be used. But that it's going to be used in a way, in the same way that it was used in the past. And that in the past was a quote-unquote mundane purpose, that's what was bothering Moshe. So Shekhar Shabbat turned back to Moshe and said, no, that was a sanctified purpose for which it was being used, and therefore it should look the same today as it looked then, and that would be sufficient. Alright? Any questions, comments, observations?
How do we go with the jeans?
The thing is okay, because it's used. It doesn't, even though it looks the same. Now, there is, at the end of this story, so first of all, on the Talmud, it's okay. But there's also a Taz that says that Tashmishi Kiddush, Tashmishi Mitzvah is okay. There's a distinction between what we call Tashmishi Kiddush and Allah and Tashmishi Mitzvah. Tashmishi Kiddush are things like Tefillin, a Sefer Torah, and Mezuzah, and think Tashmishi Mitzvah are things like Tzitzis, a Lulav, an Esrog, and a Shofar. What's the difference between the two? Right? Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sefer Torah have the Shem Hashem, and Mezuzahs, and Kalis, Lulav, don't. So things that are only what you call Tashmishi Mitzvah can be thrown in the garbage. I mean, technically, a Torah, not Torah, a Tzitzis, Talis, etc. can be thrown in the garbage. So using that thing for a Talis, that would be okay. So, as I said, it's a little bit of a more of a question to use it for the Tefillin, but because you have changed the Tzura, it sounds like it should be okay. Now, the truth is, this end part makes me question that a little bit. That makes the question a little bit, because you're using it because it's cool, because of what it was used for in the past, because of what it looks like it was once used for. But anyways, the Mishnah Berurah concludes by saying that the minhag is to be making on these things when the tzura has changed, so I'm not looking to make extra chumras for anybody. Alright? Have a good night.